Why? Because you want to earn something. You must feel that, you know, I crawl, leopard crawl from here to Cape Town and back. I earn something. You know, I lose some skin here. And you think that will save because you have merits before God? Jesus' wonderful name once again today. Good to be here with you. Friends, I would like to invite you to turn together with me to Romans chapter 8. We're going to just read one verse there. I want to continue on my second part of my topic of justification. And I will just recap a little bit what we said previously and then take it from there. Just one verse. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Who he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Just that one verse. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, as we look in your word this evening, that and this day, that you will be glorified as we go out, sail out into a little bit deeper waters, knowing that there's a lot of rocks in that waters, and as we stand still at each rock, not to examine the rock in full, but just to look at it, because, Lord, it is so important. There is a saying that say, knowledge is power, that we will, as we study our little subject that is a huge rock, if I can call it like that, a huge subject as a doctrine of the Bible, that we will come to the understanding and the knowledge of this. If you don't make us alive unto your word, Lord, we will stay the same. We will understand nothing and we won't grow and discover the richness of this doctrine. So, Spirit of God, we really rely heavily on you to make us alive unto God's words. And let this truth be hit home to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to stand still with the middle part of that verse that say, maybe it's nearly at the end, these or those he also called, whom he called, these he also justified. Now, I wonder many times in my life, what will happen if today was the last day of my life? And I stand before the court, before God, and he's the judge, and he sit on that throne, and I am standing there, and I have to give an account of my life. Who am I? Where I come from, you know? And why must he, as God, allow me in his heaven? What will I say? What do I know about Christ? And maybe the many questions that he will ask me. How will I answer it? I think many times in our EE3, we ask that two diagnostic questions, especially the second one where we come and say that, say for in case, just an example, that you die today and you come before God and you stand there and he asks you, on what grounds must I allow you in my heaven? What will your answer be? And as you know, there's so many answers that people give over the years, that, you know, how they try and how they keep the law and how they do this and how they do that and how beautiful they are and how good they are and all the wonderful things that they do in the church. And then you discover that none of that was good enough for God. I many times when I think about what will it be? What will people say? You know, many times people say, I heard all the excuses in the world. I would like to hear yours. What's your excuse? Tonight I want to sail. The other day we loosened the ropes a little bit and we look at some of our heavy equipment of this boat that we're going to sail into the deep waters. And tonight I just want to recap a little bit and see how far do I go with continue as we loosen that anchor and we leave the harbor. But as we leave it, I want you to know there in these deep waters, there is huge rocks. Rocks that we have to know. If I call it a rock, huge doctrines. If I can call it, we're going out in the ocean on our journey to discover what is justification. But it is not the only rock. It's not the only doctrine that God wants His children to know. There is another one called sanctification, a huge one. And as we journey, we will find those rocks. And I'm not going to look at in depth on each one or at each one of them. I'm not. I'm going to just tell you, this is that rock. Like Romans 8 verse 30, he said, for moreover whom he predestined, there's one rock, predestination, the doctrine of it, to know that God has predestined. What is it? When does it happen? Another rock, these he also called, whom he also called, he justified. That's also justification, another rock. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Glorification, the at the end of the day when the child of God reads the harbor, the new heaven and the new earth, heaven, that's another rock, glorification. So there will be others as well as we journey on this sea of what God has done for us. And it's very important. Although you may think today I'm stockpiling, no. Well, if you want to see it like that, okay, it's good. Because we have to pile it up. Have to remind us over and over again. Because why? I find it many times that because we don't know this, this is what God Himself is doing. I said it the other day. We know what Christ has done, but little did we know what God has done Himself for you. If I could ask you, what do you know about justification? What do you know that God Himself did for you? And then I think hardly someone here will answer me, unless you know something about it and study it yourself, or maybe heard of it over a CD or over the radio or somewhere. Hardly will you tell me something. And that is something that is so rich, this doctrine, to strengthen my faith, to give me that assurance once again, because you know why? Because we sit many times with false guilt and false condemnation in us, where Satan come with the mirror of our past and he show it to us and say, but you can't be so sure. If you commit a sin, then suddenly he show it to you and say that you sinned. How can you say that you are a child of God? Children of God do not sin. And he will twist the truth of the scripture to condemn us all the more. But if we know this doctrine and the rest, we will come there for what is applicable. Then I can confront him with such assurance in my heart of a conviction of the Spirit of God that I know this truth. And then I won't sit with false guilt, false condemnation. So I trust, especially for you guys who want to make notes, make that notes. It is for our own good to make that. Because you always can go back over and over until it is so alive in your spirit what God has done for us. Especially if we say that we've been reborn out of His Spirit. So what did we say? And I want to make a statement here, what I didn't make the other day. I want to make a statement. And I want you to see the seriousness of this statement. You know, before I came here today, I said to the Lord, I don't know if you're going to take it. I don't know if it is too heavy for you. Some of us hardly have the basics under our knees. Some of us hardly know the basic stuff, the elementary doctrines of the Bible as the basics in our Christian faith. How much more this? This is, you know, a T-bone steak. Maybe many will throw that whole T-bone steak away without even realize, but there's not just bone, there's also meat. Here's my statement. Forgiveness does not automatically lead to reconciliation. I want you to process that. I want you to think of or rethink what I said the other day. Forgiveness does not automatically lead to reconciliation. I want to go further and say, forgiveness does not automatically lead to justification. Two different things. Just like we ask one another the other day, what is the difference between justification and sanctification? There's a difference. a huge difference. One is instantaneous justification, and the other one is a process until Jesus comes or until I die. And it starts after I give my life to Christ and after justification, called sanctification. And I give an example of the shirt that I washed, and when I took it out, it's wonderful, white and bright, but there are some stains there that I have to get out of my life, called sanctification. And that is a process until I die. So I want you to think of those statements that I say. Because many, and I said it the other day as well, many profess Christ without possess Christ. And I trust it will be an eye-opener for many who profess but do not possess Him. So let me just recap in a nutshell what we already said, and we asked that question: what is justification? When does it start? And also we ask, what is sanctification, and when does that start in my life? What comes first, justification or sanctification? It's not to make you dear Makar or to confuse you. It's for you to know, so that you can know the richness of what God has given us, so that we can know. And I said again, we have a saying in Afrikaans, kennis is macht, knowledge is power. And the more knowledge I gain and understanding, I have to gain it to understand and ask the Spirit of God to illuminate my mind. And the more I understand it and realize that it comes alive to me, I can become so strong, like Ephesians 6 verse 10 say, that I will grow strong in the power of God's mind. Because where the tire hits the tar is where I'm going to use it. That's where I'm going to need it. When the lies come to me to say that I am not saved, I'm talking to children of God reborn from the Spirit of God. And many times in the counseling room, I find it many times where the devil wants to accuse this person or even myself as the counselor of that person, where I take him to the Scriptures and show him into his face what the Bible says who I am in Christ. Not me, nothing of me, nothing of that person. And if you have that knowledge, you are stronger than your enemy. But if I don't know, he will run over me. And he will start accusing me, use the Scripture against me. Because I don't know the Scripture. I don't know what is available for me, what God has left for me and give to me. It's like I said one day, to a person that, you know, all the thoughts that comes to him and bombarding him, and he don't know what to do with it, and he drink his medicine. And I ask him one day, and I say it with love, what do you want the medicine to do for you? Out of his heart, sincere, and I believe he was sincere, I want that the medicine will take away these thoughts. I said to him, how long do you take this medicine? Already for some years now. And does it work? He said, no. I said, it will never work. And so I explained to him what the medicine is all about, but also my responsibility. What must I do? He sat with a gun, spiritually speaking, but there's no ammo in that magazine. So I help him. With this lockdown, we can't see each other. But every now and then, they phone me, how's it going? And you know, and we talk a little bit over the phone. To put another round in that magazine and help him to use it when the enemy attack, how to use that gun with the ammo and shoot it. Many of us sit with powerful weapons, but we don't know how to use them. We sit with the sword. I don't know how to use them. I sit with the bazooka. I can remember in the army, they trained us in that thing. You have a powerful weapon. And if I don't know how to use that thing, which side is the front side? It looks nearly the same. And if you use it the wrong way, you're going to blast yourself up and everybody behind you. We sit with it, but we don't know how to use it. Here is one of those awesome doctrines, awesome weapons that I can use in my life to know. And that is the doctrine of justification. And I said again, God Himself did it. Christ did His part, but God the Father have to do this. And I said it the other day, a legal declaration from God Himself that He have to say it. And we say, what was the definition? I just run over it. Remind us again, and refresh our minds. We said, it is an instantaneous legal act of God. And that's got two parts. And the one part is that God thinks that my sin is forgiven and Christ's righteousness belongs to me. That Christ took my sin and his righteousness is on me, a legal act. The second thing is God has to declare to us in his sight righteous. So I say, I look at our heavy weapons on our ship, and we're going to go through that again. It's just to clarify these theological terms. Righteous means to be free from guilt or sin. Righteous. And remember, Romans 3 is full of that, where Paul said, there's none of us righteous. No one on earth ever is righteous. And I did ask you to read Romans 5 and to see the two Adams there. Did you saw it? The one devastating effect of one deed, one act of one man. And one deed, one act of the other one. And the two different effects that it has. The one bring total condemnation, depravity, and alienated from God. While the other one, the other Adam, the second Adam, bring reconciliation. And everything that this one has failed to do, he comes and he lived a perfect life. And to reconcile and in obedience, one act of righteousness. I trust that you read it and wrestle a little bit with that. And then we say there was another word, acquittal. Great word. Nearly say the same thing. The act of deciding that the person is not guilty of a crime. Okay. We say also the word verdict means the decision made by a jury in a trial, a judgment or opinion about something. To say this is the verdict, guilty or not guilty. So that is the terms that we little bit talked about last time. So if I can continue on this. Now, we talk about that justification comes after conversion. That is actually so entwined with one another, but to be set them apart to say, there must first be the outer call of the gospel, where God come and he sent out his messengers, you know, evangelists over the radio, door-to-door street evangelism, doesn't matter the way he wants to use. His word will always have to come first to us. There's the outer call, where the invitation is coming to us to repent and to come for salvation. And where you and I respond positively, and now we come to him. And then we said that justification is now God's response on our response when we act in faith in what his son has done for our sins. So it is God's response. So here, and I said something here that I didn't say it the other day, and this is this. There's two kinds of gospels today, and that's the problem. Paul himself said there's another gospel, a confusing gospel. The biblical gospel is the gospel where God invites us to a gospel where it is not on man's merit, but on Christ's merit. He invites us to that to be saved by faith in his son. That is the outer call. The inner call of the gospel is where the Spirit of God inside convicts us of our depravedness and sin, and that I am really in need of a savior. I can either reject it or I can accept it. Because God gives us also a will. He gives us, he's not to press a button and now you must, you know, no. He gives us a will. He who are thirsty, the condition is you must be thirsty. That's the condition to come, Isaiah 55:1, to come to him. Even in Matthew 11:28, come. If you are weary and heavy laden and of all the burdens and anxiety and depressed, there's the invitation, come. Remember I said God don't take your life, you have to give it to him freely. That is the biblical gospel. But then there's the other gospel that is based on man's work, based on merits. And that is what most of the gods of this age, all of them do. You have to work for your salvation. Most of all the cults is like that. You have to work for your salvation. You have to top it up. What Christ has done is not enough. You have to help him. You have earned merits to gain favor before God. I can remember I sat one day with a couple, a married couple, and both of them come from different religions. Both of them, not from the same. This one come totally from a different religion than this one. So So this one repented from that religion, but this one not. And it was okay for them to say, okay, if you choose to follow Christ, it's fine. But the thing that you say that you are just forgiven just like that, they can't accept it. Because in this religion, just like in that one, they have to work to earn merits before their gods. And this one can't believe that this one is just confessing his sins and it's been forgiven. That's cheap, the other one said. That's cheap. For all of the things that you've done, you tell me just by mere a confession of that you are sorry and you cry before God and say you are truly sorry and you are just like that forgiven. And I said, yes. Wow. Why? Because you want to earn something. You must feel that, you know, I crawl, leopard crawl from here to Cape Town and back. I earn something. You know, I lose some skin here. And you think that will save because you have merits before God? And I took them to the omelette. The omelette them. Because we are so depraved that nothing what is so good in us is filthy rags in the sight of God. And I need someone else with a perfect life to be my substitute. And still, this one still don't believe that can just be so easy of just ask forgiveness and it is granted. This one must work very, very hard. And then there is no such thing as grace and forgiveness. And you have to do it forever and ever. And you will never reach the point of perfection. And you know, when you die, you come back again and try all over again. And that is the problem of working for my salvation. So we say, God, come. Romans 3:26-28 say this, he did it to demonstrate his. We talk about justification, that legal act of God. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time so as to be just. Remember, God is love and all the wonderful attributes on one side of him. And then there's the other side. He's just and righteous. He hates sin and he has to punish sin. So he said here, God is just and he justify the one who put their faith in Jesus. It is he and he have to demonstrate his justice by doing what he said. Otherwise he's no God. So when you come and you did come for salvation, I want you to know what God has done for you. Right there. And remember, I can't say I'm been saved by my faith. No. It's that faith about Jesus Christ, who he is, what he have done. I accumulated, I accepted that it is true, and then I have to make it my own. That's faith that leads to salvation. The others is all temporary. Can't save me. Okay, so it's good to understand that. It says, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have been have faith in Jesus. And then we go through some of the benefits of justification. I think we just touch on two. Can you remember that? We go to Romans chapter 5. That's why I ask, read Romans chapter 5. There's a lot of more than a mouthful that we can chew there. We say in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. One need of everybody on earth is peace with God. Can you remember, especially, I think most of us who sit here, especially except the new guys, in our deliverance and bondage seminars that Pastor Holt and our, you know, Hinduism and all those stuff, there's that one man who sits in the lotus position, and then there is on top of him, the man's greatest need is what? Peace with God. Everybody wants peace with God. That's why they worship everything, anything whatsoever in heaven, on earth, underwater, doesn't matter what it is. As long as that thing, that deity can bring them peace, and they can't. And the only person that can give us that peace is the Prince of Peace himself. That is one of the benefits of justification, salvation. If I put that two together, justification. Because it wasn't possible if there was no conversion that took place in my heart. Remember my statement. Forgiveness does not automatically lead to reconciliation.